Good morning. It is really good to be with you this morning on this Jubilee Sunday, on this weird Jubilee Sunday. Let's just acknowledge how strange this feels, not to be greeting one another after vacations and trips in the summer, asking each other, how was your summer? And not to be preparing to be together in classes or to sign up volunteers for faith family hospitality or innumerable other things that we do here in the fall at Plymouth. It's just weird. But here we are. Back in March, we never expected that we would be online this long. We never expected that we would be worshiping in live stream together this Sunday. And even though some of the grown-ups have gone back to work and some of the college students have gone to school, we know that our children and youth are not in their regular schools. And I have to tell you, that makes me really sad for you. I know you're missing your friends and your teachers, and it's hard to sit down to one more Zoom classroom. And it's hard for us not to have you come to Plymouth and to welcome you. This pandemic thing is going on much longer than we ever expected. So over the next however long, we're going to try to do some new things in worship. And Jubilee's a good Sunday to start that. You know, the word Jubilee that we get for Jubilee Sunday comes from the Bible and from a story in the Bible about how the people of Israel, every 50 years, had a Jubilee year. And that meant that they didn't plant any crops. So they must have saved up for 49 years, so they had enough grain in their storage in order to get through this 50th year. And if any of the land had been given to someone else as a loan or in payment for a debt, well, the land was returned to the original owner. It was a do-over year. You know how do-overs are, kids. And it was a time-out kind of year. But not time-out in that there was punishment. Really more, it was a time out for calm and a time out to think about what was really important in community. So in 20 and 2021, we've had an unexpected Jubilee year for us to rest and to consider what's really important, even if we didn't think we needed that or we didn't really want it. It's time to reflect on how we can start again. When we can get back together as a people of God. So, I think stories are really important during a weird time like this. Stories bring us comfort as well as challenge. And maybe there's more time to hear them and listen to them deeply. I hope that during the Jubilee year the ancient Hebrew people had, that they told one another stories about God in their life and how God was remembered in their history. So today we have one of their ancient stories for our scripture. Our story today is about Moses, the Hebrew people's first prophet. I think it's a story that they might have told in a Jubilee year when they were listening to God. So I invite you to listen. And it's a story for all ages. If you remember from Sunday school, or maybe from the movie The Ten Commandments, or maybe from the movie The Prince of Egypt, Moses was a Hebrew boy who was adopted by the daughter of Egypt's king, Egypt's Pharaoh. and was raised as a prince in the palace. And there's a great story about how he was hidden as a baby in the basket in the river by his sister to save his life. And the princess found him and then hired his real mother to take care of him until he was old enough to come to school and to live in the palace. Now, when Moses grew up after being a prince, he noticed that the Hebrew people were not treated like he was. They were slaves, and they were mistreated by the Egyptians, and he was very troubled. He tried to help, but he got really angry about the mistreatment of his people, and one time he got so angry that he accidentally killed an Egyptian boss who was mistreating Hebrew slaves. So he had to leave Egypt in a hurry, or he would be arrested. And that's why the rest of our story today, he is living in the wilderness away from Egypt. There he found a whole new tribe and a family, and he married and he had children, and he went to work for his father-in-law as a shepherd. And that's where our story begins today. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, Midian's priest. And he led his flock out to the very edge of the desert, right up to the foot of a great mountain, out beyond the known wilderness. He came to God's mountain, which was called Horeb. And there, the Holy One's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Can you imagine? You're wandering along, you're daydreaming, and out of the corner of your eye, you see this flame, and it's in the middle of the bush. And the bush was not burning. Well, Moses said to himself, I've got to go see this bush. Let me check out this amazing sight. And so he headed toward the bush, wondering, why isn't this bush burning up? When the Holy One saw that Moses was turning back to look, the Holy One called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, I'm here. And then the Holy One said, oh, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground. And Moses continued to listen as he took off his sandals, wondering why he was doing that. And the voice from the bush said, Moses, I am the God of your father Abraham and your mother Sarah, your father Isaac and your mother Rebekah, your father Jacob and your mother Rachel. And then Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look God right in the eye. And the Holy One said, Moses, Moses, listen, I have clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I have suffered with them, and I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a land of good and broad pasture. A land full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites live. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I hear them right now. I suffer with them. I see their pain. I know how oppressed they are. So Moses, get going. Get up and get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, I don't think it's a very good idea for me to go back to Egypt. Who am I to go to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I'll be with you. And this will show you that I am the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain. Well, you know, Moses was a smart guy, and he thought, how do I know if it's God when I won't really know that it's God until I do what God has just told me to do? And Moses said to God, if I now come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they are going to ask me, right, you're that prince guy. What's this God's name? What am I supposed to say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. So say to the Israelites, I am. I will be who I will be, and I am with you, has sent me to you. And God continued saying, the Holy One, the God of your ancestors, Abraham's and Sarah's God, Isaac's and Rebekah's God, Jacob and Rachel's God, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how all generations will remember me. And that's the story of Moses and his conversation with God in that burning bush that did not burn up. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, within us, and in our imaginations, thanks be to God. Now, after we hear a story like that, it's good to think about it for just a few moments, kind of let it sink in. There's a lot of stuff happening in that story. What are the pictures in your imagination that you saw as you listened to the story? Just flip through them. Did you see the desert? That's a lot like the High Plains desert where we live. The grasses and the low kind of scrubby trees and taller trees by streams of water and sand and lots of rocks. Did you smell sagebrush like we smell when we walk in the wilderness around Fort Collins? What were you daydreaming about with Moses as he led the flock? Was your mind wandering as your feet wandered? I know I've done that on a lot of hikes. I bet you have too. And what a surprise to see this strange bush. What did the bush look like in your imagination? A bush that's burning but not burning up. Are there green leaves in the middle of the flames? Are there crackling sounds? What did it smell like? Is it hot? Or is it not hot, since it's not burning up? And how does the ground feel on your bare feet when you take off your sandals? this holy ground feel any different than other ground? And what makes this ground holy? I don't know, but I think it's God's presence that makes ground holy. Is that right? Do you think? And if I know, if I had my young friends here in front of me for children's time, and I said, where is God in the world? I think all of them would answer everywhere. And some of them would say, inside us. So does that mean it's all holy? What does the voice of God's messenger that's coming out of that burning, not burning bush sound like? When you found out that Moses was talking to God, were you just a little bit surprised? Were you nervous, like Moses, scared, excited? So, my young friends, this is where I invite you to take your paper and your crayons and your colored pencils and draw what you've just maybe experienced in this story. Holy ground and a bush that's burning and not burning up, and God talking out of the bush to Moses, this guy that might look a lot like your dad. And at lunch, you can talk more about it with your family, and maybe your parents can draw too, because drawing is a good way, and doodling are a good way to listen. When God can tell that Moses is really listening, in spite of being nervous and scared, God asks Moses to do something very startling and very important. God asks, well, really, God tells Moses to stop hiding in the wilderness and to go back to Egypt to confront Pharaoh about how the Hebrew people are treated so badly, how they are suffering and even dying. God says, I see and I hear their suffering. I suffer with them. So, Moses, dude, get up. Go back to Egypt. Free them from Pharaoh's bullying, his keeping them for slaves. Lead them out of Egypt to live in a land I will show you, a beautiful land where they will be free. Now, Moses knows, and you know too, that if he goes back to Egypt, he could get in bad trouble for killing that Egyptian boss that was overseeing the other Hebrew workers. He could be arrested. He could even be killed. How do you think Moses feels when God tells him to go back to Egypt and confront Pharaoh? Yeah, that doesn't sound so good, does it? Moses would have to be really brave to do that. I don't know if I could be that brave. What about you? It takes a lot of bravery, a lot of courage to go back and confront our mistakes, confess them, and then stand up in front of the most powerful people. What if you were asked to go stand in front of our president about and talk about the mistreatment of people in our country? Would you be scared? Do you think you could be arrested? Probably not if you hadn't done anything wrong, but it might be scary. I think I would ask, like Moses, who am I to do this? I feel all alone. How can I do this? I feel very small and very powerless. But did you hear what God said to Moses? Don't worry. I will be with you. I will be with you. And how will you know? Well, you will know when you return to this very place with all the Hebrew people. Like I said in the story, you'll know once you have done what God is sending you to do and the scary part is over and you're back here. I don't know if that would give me courage. And yet, people have said to me, and maybe to you, act like you are brave, even if you are afraid. That's what courage is. Doing what is right, even when we are afraid. But God, says Moses, how will the people even know to follow me? I mean, they don't really know or trust me. Who will I tell them has sent me? And this is where God says something so important. God tells Moses God's name. When we really want to be friends with someone, when we want them to trust us, we tell them our name, don't we? Maybe we even tell them the name that just our family calls us, our special friends. Hi, I'm Jane Ann, but you can call me Jane or Janie. Hi, I'm Harry, but you can call me Hal. Hi, I'm Carla, and you can call me Carla. God says, Moses, the people will know me by this name. I am who I will be. I will be who I am. And my being is with you. Is with you. This is God's name. I am, and I am with you. I have seen and heard you. I suffer with you. I am is with you, God. So get going, Moses. Tell the people and the Pharaoh my name. I will be with you, and you will bring, is not a question here. You will bring my people into freedom. So is this how God called Moses to be the first prophet for God? Inviting him to stand on holy ground. Which could be anywhere and everywhere. Telling Moses God's special name and saying, I see and I hear and I suffer and feel with you and I will be with you always. Now, the first big job of prophets is to tell the truth. We all want to tell the truth, don't we? And we want to hear the truth. Prophets tell the truth about injustice, which if you are a smaller one of our Plymouth friends, could sound like a big word, but it's a big word that means being mean, selfish, not treating people as you would want to be treated with fairness and with kindness, not following what you've heard of perhaps as the golden rule, do to others as you want others to do to you. And none of us wants to be treated with meanness or unfairness. And all of you, from preschoolers to grown-ups, know how it feels to be treated meanly. All of us have been treated meanly sometime, perhaps bullied, called names, right? At school, in the neighborhood, at work. Children and even grown-ups in grown-up jobs are bullied sometimes and treated meanly. And a boss or a friend might not really see us and then say something that makes us feel really bad and makes us feel really mad, really angry. And kids, I will tell you a secret. Sometimes we are all, even grown-ups, tempted to do the same thing to other people because we have been hurt so badly, even when we know this is not the way God wants us to act. God called Moses to go to Pharaoh, the king, and say, "Stop bullying my people. Stop being so mean. They are dying without food. They are dying because they are sick. They are dying because you work too hard. Stop it. Let them go free." Now, if you have ever stood up to a bully at school or in your neighborhood so that a friend of yours can stop being mistreated, or even if you've just imagined doing that, you know it's a very hard thing and a very scary thing. And it's also a God thing. And God is with us when we do this really hard, scary God thing. You're not in school right now. It's Jubilee time. So now is the time to think about Moses and his story while you're at home and be prepared for when perhaps you are back in a group of friends and you need to stand up and tell the truth about being a bully. And grown-ups, it's time for us too, in this Jubilee time, to think about what the black theologian James Cone tells us. James Cone wrote and said, "It is impossible to do Christian theology with integrity in America without asking the question, what has the gospel to do with the black struggle for liberation?" That's a grown-up-sized question to wrestle with. It's a big God question. And it's in our faces, and we can't ignore it, even as we social distance from the crowds. My friends, young, old, tall, small, in between, we all stand on the holy ground of our lives because God is with us wherever God is. Wherever God is, and God is everywhere. There is holiness, wholeness, and love. As you go into this week, into this strange Jubilee fall, remember, you are whole. You are holy in God's sight. So God will ask big things of you, just like God asked of Moses. May it be so. Amen.